Hawaii, where my wife and I pastor a church called Blue Water Mission. It, too, is a church plant. We're just a little over a year old, going strong and having fun. And a lot of, I should say that this morning, I know that my entire church has prayed for you. So that's why you're feeling so great. Some extra prayers. We've sort of built our church. A lot of the impetus to the beginning of our church was just the experience of the grace of God in stuff like healing or deliverances from depressions and addictions and things like that. Now, God is really a God of miracles. That's worth celebrating. We don't see every miracle that we want to see, but we see enough to know that the kingdom of God is among us. And it is an incredibly encouraging thing. We mourn with people with whom we need to mourn, but we have seen the Lord do miracles to relieve a lot of people of their suffering and mourning. So that's why I get excited about things like healing services. Every so often at our church, we do a healing service. We just pass out flyers. We cancel our regular service. And we just say, if you're sick, why don't you try coming to church? And the name of our church is weird. It's Blue Water Mission. So people who have stuff against churches are willing to show up and try it out, and they're curious from the start. And we've just seen the Lord do all sorts of crazy healings. We have a family in our church right now. Their whole family has now come to the Lord. When I met them, it's because I got a phone call from a woman in our church. Now, she is a physical trainer. She's a bodybuilder. She's like incredibly buff. And so a former stripper who came to Jesus and just really turned her life around, and she's just quite the evangelist. So I get a call from her one Saturday and say, well, these people are in my office, and I'm giving them massages. That's part of her training, and they're also sick. They have these various injuries. Why don't you come down? So while they're getting massage, I just pop into her office, and she says, hi, this is my pastor. What's he doing here? Well, he's come to heal you. That's how most of the really interesting stories start, you know. It's like, this is rude. So I prayed for them, and the guy got healed of sort of this arthritic problem in his shoulders, and the woman of a back injury. Anyway, they started coming, and we baptized them recently. Now they're beginning to pray for people to see healing. Over the years, we have seen, in our ministries, we have seen healings of just about any condition that you can imagine. Cancerous tumors vanishing. I may have told this story at the little conference we just did, but we had one woman, she had a tumor and they had tagged it with a radioactive tag, a little piece of metal, and they wheeled her in to do the surgery and they cut her open, they looked in, they could find the tag, but the tumor had disappeared after a prayer time, to which she responded, why couldn't Jesus heal me before they cut? Ungrateful, that's what I say. But the tumor had disappeared. We've had women healed of crippling arthritis, debilitating arthritis, before anybody even laid hands, just sitting and listening to people talk about other healing miracles. I say that because you might start feeling better in your seat. The Lord is just incredibly gracious. Seeing the Lord open deaf ears, heal all sorts of scoliosis, lung disease, liver disease, metastasized pancreatic cancer has disappeared. We had one guy come in, his arm was black with melanoma, which is a skin cancer, and it was terminal. They hadn't given him long to live. He just showed up. Fortunately, was not in a lot of pain. We prayed for him, and his skin stayed black. We were discouraged. He went to the doctor and got all the tests that you get. I don't even know what tests they put you through, but they couldn't find a hint of cancer in his body. It's just that his skin was scarred. There's all these incredible stories, right? It's incredibly encouraging. And we love that heritage. You know, we love the reality of God's kingdom with us. And people often show up, or our prayer ministers will talk and say, well, how can we get more of this? What can we do? And that's the stuff that we talked about during the conference this weekend. How do you get more of this? Because this sounds really fun. An encounter with a God who is so obviously real, so easily real, sounds very, very helpful. So how can we get us a little more of that? And we talked about various ways, but I just thought that as we go into the healing time this morning, I would talk about one thing that often releases a little more of that kingdom reality in our lives. The most obvious thing, faith, right? Even people who do not believe in God have absorbed the proverb that faith releases miracles, right? Everybody knows the scripture verse, faith can move mountains, right? Everybody knows this, even the non-Christians. And it's become kind of popularized. We celebrate the power of belief and faith in culture. And what I would like to pose as a question this morning, what I think about a lot is simply, faith in what? I mean, I think faith in crystals does not do very much. That's my position. So faith in what? And, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you say, well, faith in God. And you have to think about that. You have to examine it a little bit because, as the Bible says, even the demons believe in the existence of one true God and shudder, right? It freaks them out. It doesn't really help them in their life to believe in the existence of God. So I pose, what exactly do you have to believe about God in order to have this sort of activating faith, this sort of faith that helps you out in walking in miracles in life? And I'd just like to share a story from Mark chapter 5. If you have Bibles, you can read along. I imagine it's a fairly familiar story to those of you who have hung out around church for any period in your life. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to do verses 24 through 34. This is the story of a woman who had a hemorrhage of blood, and she gets healed by an encounter with Jesus. I just want to make just a few very quick observations about it. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, pressed around Jesus. And a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Her menstrual bleeding did not stop for 12 straight years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, Jesus was walking through her town. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crying against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" I mean, everybody's bumping up against you. Everybody's making contact with you. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it, because one person had made a special contact. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth, the whole story. So evidently not just that she was healed, but some details, some significant details surrounding it. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The great thing to appreciate about this story is that the woman wasn't supposed to be there. In a culture of the time, during a woman's menstrual bleeding, she was considered unclean. She was considered contagious, ceremonially, which is to say spiritually unclean. She wasn't supposed to leave the house or have contact with anybody. Anybody who touched her or was around her in close proximity was contaminated, and it had to go through all of these cleansing things in order to get ceremonially, spiritually clean. That was the religious custom of the day. So that tells you a little bit about the depth of her suffering for 12 years, but it also tells you she should not have been outside. So the first thing she did was she decided to ignore her religion. The second thing was she snuck up behind Jesus and touched him. And that in that culture, that was akin to sexual assault. Men and women did not touch. It's that way in many of the cultures today, like in the Middle East or Asia, a lot of the Muslim cultures. You know, I spend a lot of time in Bangladesh. Men and women are not supposed to make eye contact outside. You are not supposed to be in the presence of any woman who is not a direct close relative when you are out in public. And so for a woman who was ceremonially, spiritually unclean, religiously wrong, to sneak up in a crowd and touch a man was an incredible affront. To touch a holy man, a rabbi, as Jesus was considered, was just off the charts. Just off the charts. But she did it anyway. And so when Jesus said, hey, something just happened here, somebody fess up, of course she comes in fear. What does she think is going to happen? What is she thinking? What's going through her mind? What's going through her mind is busted. And when it says she told Jesus the whole truth, I think what she's confessing is, I was bleeding for 12 years. You know, I've been menstruating for 12 years. And you could imagine the crowd. You've just contaminated all of us. You know? So she basically confesses her sin, her unworthiness. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? She has just been healed supernaturally, miraculously, in a fantastic way, but she's trembling in fear. And this is how we get hung up on things like sin and religion, right? She has just received this powerful miracle from God, and yet all she can think about is, I'm such a sinner, I'm such a sinner. You know? Bogus. Bogus. She had that false religious mindset. But here's what impresses me about the woman. I love this story. I love this lady. I'm looking forward to meeting her in heaven. My question is, how did she know? How did she know to do this? Right? Everything in her society, everything in her church, everything she had ever been taught about religion, all the customs were telling her, if you do this, you are a fantastic sinner. If you do this, you are doing wrong. All right? She had never met Jesus before. It's his first time going through this town, had never interacted with him. You know, it wasn't like there was CNN in the day. At best, she had heard rumors about this holy man who was going through town. Somehow, she crafts the conclusion in her head that if she gets outside and touches this guy, God will heal her. What made her think that? Right? She had no reason to think that. There is no teaching that leads her to think that. There is no scripture, right? Even Jesus' tight followers aren't totally clear on who he is at this point, yet somehow this woman who had the shame of society figured that if she could just touch this holy man, it was all going to be good for her. What do you call that? That's crazy. That has no justification. I call it faith. I think that is not just faith, but it's exactly the sort of faith that releases miraculous power. This is it. This is what we're shooting for as a people of God. It is faith in spite of. It's all hyphenated, faith in spite of. You have to have that kind of faith. Faith in spite of what shame teaches you. Faith in spite of all the screw-ups that you have in your life. Faith in spite of your uncleanness. Faith in spite of social norms. Faith in spite of the fear that might be bubbling in your gut. And she goes out there and says, forget it all. I know that if I can just make contact somehow with a man who is full of God, it will all be good. That kind of faith, you know, however you define it for yourself, that is exactly what we're looking for today. It's closely related to this Christian concept of grace. We have to be grace fanatics. Grace fanatics. It's not about deserving or evaluating in any way, shape, or form. You don't deserve any good thing, so get over it. Get over it. Get over yourself if you failed, if you've sinned, if you feel ashamed, if you feel afraid. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have faith in spite of all that crap? Yeah. And she goes out there, you know, the story touches him, zap, like the static electric charge of power, and Jesus feels that power leave him, you know, and he says, like, who touched me? What went down? That was extraordinary. That was extraordinary. A lot of people claim me. A lot of people are bumping against me. A lot of people are touching me, but someone did it with faith in spite of. I could tell because they got power. Who was that? Who was that? And the disciples are like, Jesus, you know, it's crowded. No, 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 no. who is that? This woman comes forward, trembling, and I just imagine a little grin, you know, on his face as he listens to her talk. And, well, you know, I was bleeding, and I know I did wrong, but I just thought that if I touched you, that God would bless me. There's no reason. I just believe that. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. You know, he underscores her faith, doesn't he? Right? It's one of those times where he says, you know, yeah, God is good. I'm powerful. I do miracles. But you know what really made this work today? That faith in spite of. That's what it was. The fact that you understood grace in the midst of a religious culture that didn't teach you any grace. Now, you know, if you've seen like the Zeffirelli movie about Jesus of Nazareth, you know, and whenever Jesus did the miracle, it was soft lens, and of course he had blue eyes, and, you know, and he was like, So if the Zeffirelli Jesus was saying, daughter, your faith has healed you, you're freed from your suffering, going, then it would be like, daughter, your faith has healed you, go in peace. Da-da-da-da, crescendo. No, this was not possibly the Zeffirelli Jesus. He was like, daughter, your faith, this is faith, people, your faith has healed you, this is great, this is extraordinary, everybody look at this lady, she has faith. Do you get it now? This is the faith, this is what God is like. God is faith in spite of, God is grace in spite of, right? I imagine that, you know, I don't know if they had the fist pump in first century Palestine, but I imagine sort of, yes, something like that. That's my amplified version of the Bible, but I'm pretty sure it was something like that. He was Mediterranean after all. I'm pretty sure that this was incredibly excited Jesus. And then he says, go in peace. In other words, don't anybody bother her. This was right on. And you're freed from your suffering and the wholeness of your story. Okay, well, I took too long about that. I get excited about that story because I get excited about grace and faith in spite of. And I think God wants to heal some people today. And you don't have to have perfect faith to be healed, because this woman did not have perfect faith, right? At the end of the story, she's still trembling, right? She still hasn't made all the right conclusions, but she had that mustard seed size faith, that little bit that allowed her to do something in spite of. Maybe you've come today and you feel kind of bad about yourself. Maybe you think that I'm not the sort of person that the Lord would release miraculous power for or something. Nonsense. Your challenge is to have faith in spite of. And whatever is beating you down, that's just so much more opportunity for you to have faith in spite of. That's the kind of faith that we're after. And so we're going to employ that sort of faith this afternoon and see some people get blessed, some bodies get healed, perhaps some depressions lifted, some lies destroyed. That's the agenda. Now, some people were praying before the service, and some of them felt like they had some prophetic words from the Lord about some things that the Lord wanted to heal or do this afternoon. So I want to invite those people to come up. Come on, guys. You know who you are. And they're just going to share with you what they felt the Lord say directly to them. You got, oh, there it is, Matt. People? Just get it. Line up here in a line.
So I think that the Lord might want to heal somebody's left foot and also possibly headaches.
So left foot and headaches. So like a left foot injury or something that's like that? You got a problem with your left foot? Just, you can stay there for just a second. Not so fast, sister. Left foot and then headaches. So probably like chronic headaches or something like that. Or migraines, some sort of chronic. Who is that? Anybody? Oh, yeah, okay. We got at least one. It's not terribly uncommon, so there may be more. Caleb?
I saw a picture when we were praying of tree rings, and then I heard the word sugars. So I thought it might have something to do with sugar problems related to age.
I'll take that one.
One, two. Sugar. I don't even know what those might be.
Sugar disorders, and high blood sugar, diabetes, something like that. Okay. Yeah, that sounds cool. So this is the Lord saying in advance that he would like to take care of these problems for you. Just in case, I don't want you to miss that. All right.
And in the same vein, I saw a child or like a kid just gulping down soda, so we thought that was similar to sugar, like possibly diabetes. and then also an eye, some eye problems.
An eye problem. I remember having a word earlier, like an astigmatism, right? So eye problems can be related to sugar disease, yeah? You can have the glaucoma stuff. And also we had a word earlier about stigmatisms, I remember. So lots of eye stuff today. Go ahead, Hannah.
I felt a pain in my knee, left knee. I was wondering, and it went away while we were praying, so I thought maybe if someone had a problem with left knee.
Okay, specifically a left knee injury or, I don't know, disease, I suppose. Somebody with a left knee problem? I'm back here. All right. Oh, we got another one. Okay, we got lots of bum left knees. All right. Well, you should all come and check it out. That's great. Todd?
I had a sense that the Lord wanted to heal, like, arthritic pain in hands and wrists, both left and right. And I also saw a picture of, like, some metal bands kind of surrounding lungs, like, making it hard to breathe. So that could be, like, an asthma thing or some other kind of breathing problem.
Cool. So some sort of arthritic or rheumatoid condition in the hands and wrists. Who's that? Going once. That's okay. And then bands on the lungs. So some sort of constricted lungs, suggestive of maybe something like asthma or sort of congestion or lung injury, something like that. Anybody? Lung problems? Asthma? Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me. Did we get them all? Yes? Okay. So those people specifically, this sounds like the Lord has some sort of healing agenda for you. Can you guys stay up and pray? And do we have other people on the prayer team or something? If those of you who will be doing the ministering would come up, and we'll just kind of spread out across the front. Okay. And so the healing ministry is not limited to the problems that the Lord has highlighted. We only have so many ears, and perhaps the Lord can download to us everything that he wants to do. So really the invitation is, if you have come this morning and you have something from which you would like to be healed, would you please come forward for prayer? And what will happen is that these guys will maybe lay a hand on your shoulder or, you know, on an appropriate body part. Like if it's your knee, they might touch your knee. If it's your eye, they might poke you in the eye. No, probably not so much. They'll be gentle. But just sort of, you know, bless you that way. And then in the name of Jesus, try to impart a little power. And your job is to simply come forward with a nice, relaxed faith in spite of anything that might be going on in your life, in spite of where you think you are vis-a-vis God, in spite of the history of your disease, however long, however short, come forward and make contact with the living Lord. That's the plan. So come on forward. Let these guys pray for you. We had another word for an infection. If you've got an infection inside, like in one of your organs specifically, I won't be more specific than that. You would know if that's you, but the Lord wants to heal some infections. Come on up. Spread out all across the front, guys. We got some other folks over here praying. All right, I'm just going to say a general prayer to get us started. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here this morning, and we thank you for grace, Lord. We thank you that in spite of everything that happens in our life, that you are just eager to see your children blessed. I pray, Lord, that you would just manifest your blessing in a glorious way this morning. Give us a break, Lord. Give us some grace and give us healing. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, be healed of all the infirmities and afflictions. And I pray, Lord, that the blessing would just flow. In Christ's name.
As you get older, you have a lot more problems. It seems like you got a lot more things to pray for. And I asked Matt to pray for my ears. I've had chronic ear infections for many years, 30 years or so. I also asked for prayer for my shoulder. And I also was injured lately, and I asked for full flexibility to come back to my hand. So as we were praying, I felt that my ears were draining. The eustachian tubes in my throat, I could feel that the Lord was healing my ears. I felt pressure release, and that, I know it's kind of gross, but...
All this stuff drained down into your throat.
Yeah, coming out of, it's still happening to a certain extent.
Cool.
Also, then Matt started praying for my shoulder, and I noticed my leg started feeling better.
It's like, Matt, you missed.
I said to Matt, you know, there is something wrong with my right leg. I just forgot to tell you about it because I've got so many things wrong with me. And I said, it kind of shows you that the Lord is aware before you even ask what's wrong.
Cool.
And he was already healing my leg. And, well, I don't know about my shoulder at the moment, but...
But your leg is gangbusters.
The Lord was doing things for me in answer to Matt's prayers and also to my prayers. And I encourage you... If you're having problems, I think the point of the lady coming up to Jesus was that you have to, what is your name?
Jordan.
As Jordan was saying, just set aside your fears and the guilt that you have, because God's not really looking at that. He's looking at, do you believe in me? Do you have trust in me and confidence in me? The sins get wiped away by your faith in Jesus anyway. And then also God can heal you. But you have to turn to him.
Very nice. God bless you. Anyone else can already tell a difference in your physique? Oh, yeah.
Since I'm diabetic, I don't really know if I'm healed until tomorrow. But the word was so specific. Friday, I went to the eye doctor, and he said, your eyes look fine, but I'm sure there's something wrong because you've been diabetic so long. Surely there's something wrong. Your eyes, 100%, your eyes are going to give you problems. And I felt like that was really like a curse, really a negative thing to speak over me. So I really wanted to get prayer for it, but I thought, oh. But anyway, so the real specific thing about diabetes and eyes was really, really cool that God saw that. And she has eye issues too. So.
Well, let's see what the doctor says for the tests. How's your knee doing, my friend? He was wearing the big fat brace. Rodney, right? God bless you, Rodney. He had a torn tendon, ACL, and he had some surgery on it. And was wearing the big fat brace. So how's it feeling now? Good. Could you do that before? I'm happy to see you doing it now. All right. This is the point at which my old football coach would say, walk it off. Nice. Praise God. That's nice. Anyone else? I don't know what all the conditions were. But... Okay, well, look, some of you go to the doctor and get tested or try it out for the next 24 hours or whatever it's going to take to know for sure, or take a lap around the block, whatever it is that you need to do to test it, you know, report back to the church. You can come back next week and share what the doctor says. Because testimonies just release a lot of encouragement and faith. And we studied all weekend long about how to grow in power to do the ministry of the Lord in miracles. Like any ministry that we share as a church, you can do things to get better at it, just like you can do things to be a better, more loving person. You know, it's all the same. So if you didn't get healed today, then try again later. And just, as we say at my church, give the Holy Spirit a shot at doing something wonderful for you before you leave the building. That's a great policy. Thanks for letting me share in this today. And God bless you guys, and come share with me your testimonies if you haven't.